Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 36. I am Table for Two, aka Hunter, and I am joined today by Mellified and Alien Pickle. How y'all doing?
Hey, this is Mellified, aka Adrian. I'm doing great. It's a wonderful day. Chickens are out. You'll probably hear our roosters crowing in the background at some point during this podcast.
Yeah, we're just gonna give them. Gonna give them a microphone. Man, right on the show,
like directly on cue.
And, well, he was being introduced. He knew, button,
right? Yep. Well, yeah, I actually have an electrode jammed up its ass, and I just hit the button when I crow.
Oh, like God.
A mink.
Oh my God.
How are you doing today, Jim?
Yeah, good afternoon, Jim.
I just been electrocuting some minks this morning out on the farm, and
Oh my god,
I don't know. It's too early to tell.
It is for you, I suppose.
Some of us woke up before noon.
That's right. Some of us. Wow, we've got quite a bit of news to go into today. I'm pretty excited about it. There's some good stuff in here, and there's definitely going to be a couple of rants in here at a couple of different points, but we'll see if we can keep our composure as we make it through a couple of these stories that are just a little obnoxious. But
salt warning brought to you by like and subscribe.
I want to start this off with actually some really, really good news. I've been a fan of GOG for a long time, and they definitely feel like they've kind of slowed on their production of retro stuff, like putting out old retro games or getting the licensing agreements for some of these older retro games. There's definitely been times where some of them have been added and then removed and then added again. Due to licensing, which is always the bane of all of this stuff. But GOG pulled a big one out, and they've partnered and gotten the licensing to start digitally distributing a bunch of classic Star Trek games, including Bridge Commander, Voyager Elite Force and Elite Force 2, Away Team, Starfleet Commander 3, and Star Trek Hidden Evil, with Armada 1 and 2 on the way. So they've already got those in the store, so they have already been confirmed. This is really exciting because I've been for years calling out GOG saying that they need to get more of these games on here, and I'm very thankful that finally. I still think there should be more because they need Starfleet Command 2, for example. They've got one on there, but they need to get two on there, and I think they need, even though it might not have been like everyone's favorite, but they need to get a few more of these games on there. So I'm
What was the Deep Space Nine game that was kind of like Bridge Commander, but Deep Space Nine, and you fought and actually got it working at one point?
Dominion Wars. Are you thinking about Dominion Wars?
Yeah. Dominion Wars. Well, like, where is that?
Dominion Wars, I think, is going to need some serious work because, like a few classic games that are out there, Dominion Wars was impacted by refresh rate, and so. Wow. I think, what was it, Star Wars Battle for Naboo, which was a Factor 5 game that was made by the same people who did the original Rogue Squadron. And it's a very much a Rogue Squadron style game, Battle for Naboo. But to get it to work on the PC, you actually have to set the refresh rate, not on the software side, but physically at the monitor to 60 hertz or lower, if I'm not mistaken. Otherwise, the game will not load. And so stuff like that, it's not just like a software compatibility issue. Some of this definitely has to do with the physical hardware, not even the graphics card. So, it's quite an interesting.
In addition to the technical challenges, the legal and licensing headaches to bring these games back has got to be incredible. I mean, finding the companies that did these games, in some cases, you know, the owners of that intellectual property. Obviously, Paramount owns Star Trek, so you have to negotiate with them as well, and everybody's going to want to get paid. So,
So the licensing holy grail to me is try to get War for Middle-earth 2 Lich King, RTS.
Mm-hmm.
If they can pull that off, that's the ultimate, because the Tolkien estate is like hostile to video games, apparently. And, you know, they had that glut of games that happened right after the movies came out. And then immediately after that, it's like, we're not allowed to sell that anymore. So there's never been digital distribution of any of it. Yeah. And specifically the RTS games, which were some of the best RTS games ever made. And we can't have them.
Well, thankfully, though, Armada and Armada 2 are on the way, though. And those were some pretty decent RTS games from Star Trek. At least, for what it's worth, at least I liked them. Because, you know, in this day and age, and I know we're on a little bit of a high horse with just our first story here, but in this day and age, most Star Trek content goes straight to Star Trek Online. And while I enjoy Star Trek Online, or mobile games, but there's some classic ones out there that I would just love to see. If they could make Dominion Wars actually work properly on PC once again, then holy cannoli, like that'd be pretty fantastic. I think to this day that's probably the hardest game to actually get working properly on PC. And I think in most cases you actually have to have a retro PC in order to do it properly. It's just that much of a bear to get working. So.
Well, let's talk about some other news. Satisfactory is getting a big update. This is still in early access, but they've added a lot of new parts to build with. I haven't actually played Satisfactory yet. I know people who love it and swear it's one of the best sort of creative builder games, but
I love it. Either of you guys swear it's one of the best creative builder games.
Have you actually played it?
Yeah, I've played it a lot. Played it with my wife. The big problem that we had, though, was there was a lot of desync problems in multiplayer. So it was kind of like, we'll come back to this.
Gotcha.
To me, there's two games in that space. One of them is Satisfactory, and the other one's Valheim. And they're very, very different games, but that's like my co-op, let's build stuff, go-to.
Got it. Very cool. Well, there are unofficial Apex Legends servers, and they're doing some actually really interesting things with the game mechanics. They brought back wall running as a feature. They've been playing with different Titanfall mechanics, changing weapons, changing characters, abilities, and the result is, you know, a fun kind of remix experience of Apex Legends. The client is named R5 Reloaded. And, you know, you got to wonder whether EA and Respawn are going to shut this thing down at some point soon. But at least for now, this might be a fun way if you've not been maybe as excited with Apex Legends as you might have been to check out some different ideas.
Let's talk about Respawn for a minute. if you have Titanfall 2 installed, please uninstall Titanfall 2. That's what Respawn said about, because apparently their servers got so hacked or something that it starting the game was enough to get your computer compromised. So yeah, so a stern warning. Like,
did they fix that though?
Okay, so I was following this story pretty closely, and what the issue was, there was a way you could send a string to the server for your username that would overflow the buffer in the client when the server sent it down to other people's clients and cause the game to crash. But anytime you have a crash bug like that, the concern is that you could use it to inject code into the running process and potentially infect the system. No one's actually done that, to be clear. It's just, you know, the potential exists. Respawn has been working to fix it. It has not been fixed yet, last I saw. But it is a little bit scary to have that kind of a bug in the game. Unfortunately, it seems like they've somewhat abandoned Titanfall multiplayer because their servers have been getting DDoS for months now. There's been a big uproar in the community about bugs with the game. And so this is, you know, kind of the latest.
Yeah, because it finally got a population and people noticed there is bugs because there wasn't a lot of people playing it before. And then they put it out on Steam and suddenly everybody's playing it. And yeah, it's like the game finally got its chance after, what, like 5 years of being in the shadow.
Yeah, yeah, it's a shame because it is a lot of fun. All right, so Alan Wake is getting a remastered edition. Remedy has announced this. They are producing this for PlayStation consoles as well as the Xbox. Alan Wake was originally an Xbox franchise sponsored by Microsoft, but Respawn did buy back the rights from Microsoft at one point. So, and the Control game has a lot of Alan Wake references. It actually seems to be an intentionally shared universe that Remedy's trying to create with that. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of fun Easter eggs they slip in here.
I am, again, rather confused by this. Because this is the Alan Wake stuff. This was very interesting to hear about it coming from the Sony. Sony finally did a thing, I guess, recently. I don't know if I'm jumping the gun on this, but you know, Sony finally put out their, like, whatever they call it, their live show.
Their event.
Or press. Yeah, press
I forget the name.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, and they were like, we're finally showing you guys some stuff. Here's some things. And they kicked it off with a couple of different games, one that we're going to get to here in a minute, but they also talked about, like, this Alan Wake, like, remaster that they're doing. And of course, it's coming to the PC as well, I think, through Epic, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just another, like, just weird line in the sand of, like, games, like, the original versions of these games that you can get elsewhere on the PC, but the remasters are kind of going into odd directions. I was very confused by this. I was also a little surprised to hear of an Alan Wake remake and or remaster in general. Like, that was kind of like, okay. So.
Yeah, it seems like Remedy's wanted to go back to it for a while, and just because of the ownership by Microsoft and Remedy was doing other things, it didn't happen until now.
Yeah, and didn't it even come off sale at one point for a few months because there was, like, some kind of license problem? And
yep. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, but this kind of goes into, like, my other, and I'm gonna go to this one next, though, but part of that Sony thing was they announced that Aspyr is going to be doing a Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. They say, I guess the proper thing on here is remake. This isn't a remaster. This isn't, like, some kind of upscale thing. They're actually going to remake the game from the ground up.
So, but it's like a spiritual remake because it's going to be a different game with the same name.
Right. And
somewhat resembles the original.
And I was talking, so it's going to be it's probably going to be a different story with similar names, but I was talking to Melify just before we started recording about, like, remember, and because oddly enough, BioWare was the one who made this before, right? And BioWare is owned by who? And
EA.
And right, and BioWare was also the one who made the Old Republic MMO. You know, this would be, like, a perfect chance to kind of, like, you know, get some good redemption stuff going on underneath them by remastering and remaking the original one, because, you know, there was mixed reception about the Old Republic. And so I'm really confused by this until I started realizing what was going on kind of really behind the scenes, because, like, when Battlefront got announced as coming out, the first Battlefront of the new genre, people got really excited because, yeah, we like the Battlefront games. Battlefront's awesome. And then when Battlefront comes out, like this remake of Battlefront, you're like, this is not the Battlefront I know and love. This is very different. And Battlefront 2 notoriously had that really just crappy launch. And so I based on who I know is involved with this, based on all these kinds of things, I really do not have high hopes for Knights of the Old Republic remake. I kind of don't even want it, honestly.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the recent remakes that we got was Final Fantasy VII, and essentially what it did was take what in the original was about the first hour and a half to 2 hours of the game and stretched that portion out to a 60-hour adventure. It wasn't particularly interesting. It wasn't particularly fun, in my opinion. I am not a fan of Final Fantasy VII Remake. And I think the reason for that is they just were changed too much about it, tried to make it too different for the sake of what making it different, it seemed like. So I'm worried that they're going to do the same thing with Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah,
and I'm particularly frustrated because I have felt that now that the Skywalker saga, as it's been retconned, is done, we have an opportunity to explore new parts of the Star Wars universe, and Knights of the Old Republic would have been a great place to go next.
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, to kind of keep that thing going, it's kind of like my beef with Star Trek, right? You know, when they were doing Star Trek stuff, when they did Enterprise, I was okay with that concept of Enterprise. Like, let's go back to a time where, like, this is post-First Contact, but pre, like, Federation, and explore that. And I was like, oh, that's an area that we really know relatively little about. Like, yeah, sure, that's interesting. But, like, once you've kind of explored that, then, like, when they start getting into New Trek, as I like to call it, where now you've got, like, Star Trek folks exploring, like, 5 years before the original series, you're like, well, we already know a lot about this era. What are we doing? And then they do this weird time jump thing, and, like, they're going, like, way beyond. I was like, you know, if they were to do something new, then they need just to kind of start from a place, like, that is quite literally new. You know, like, let's keep things moving forward, not revisit, then rehash it. And now they're coming out with the Pike series. And I'm like, we already know how this ends, guys. Like, I mean, it's not to say that the characters aren't interesting or they won't be good, but it just, that's kind of been my beef with it. It's just like, we've been circling this same thing for so long now. Which is why I feel like The Mandalorian feels so fresh to me, like, when I watch The Mandalorian, because it's after Return of the Jedi, and it's, like, way before all the new Star Wars movie crap, where it's just, like, we're in an era that feels interesting, it's connected to the Clone Wars stuff in ways, like, you're seeing some old characters, but, like, in the future, telling new stories with them, and it's not, like, a rehash of something that we already know and love. You know, it's a spaghetti western about a random Mandalorian guy. Freaking cool. Like, I can dig that. But, you know, so much of these IPs keep trying to, like, rehash the same things over and over again. And I think I'm at a breaking point of, like, I'm not that interested anymore.
Well, moving on, we've got a new update for Aliens Fireteam. This is the first of their, season pass that they're doing for the game. And they added a new class, which has, like, a kind of futuristic riot shield that you can deploy to protect you from spitting aliens and acid and other projectiles. So definitely nice to see them continuing to sort of iterate and imagine what else they can do with the Aliens universe. While not maybe the deepest game, I've really enjoyed playing Aliens Fireteam quite a bit co-op.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right. Stellaris got a pretty big new update, and one of the interesting things about it, certainly Stellaris is no stranger to getting big updates, as we've talked about on the show in the past, but what's been neat about this is they actually have gone back and added content to some of their existing DLC. So if you have a particular pack, they've added extra content specifically for that. So always nice to see, you know, taking care of the fans, giving them a little something extra, I think.
Yeah, that's a game that just will not stop getting new content. It's quite impressive, really. Much like No Man's Sky.
Which we'll be talking about a little bit later.
All right. MechWarrior 5, the Kestrel Lancers expansion, launches next week and adds mega cities.
Yeah, whatever.
I was waiting for it. There it is. I'm into the MechWarrior 5 stuff. I mean, I know it doesn't have a lot of big variety to it, but you know, especially when you look at like games of the past and mechanics of the past, this definitely feels
the game is that there's all these different planets and all these different factions, and you know, there's kind of a story, right? Because there's like the occasional story mission that's peppered along the map, but for the most part, it's just like go into a system, and it generates like there's five different mission types in the game, so it generates a bunch of missions that are that on a random map. But it's just like, okay, I can defend the building or destroy the building or hunt for this particular like mech or whatever, and they're all like single serving things for the most part. Even the ones that are like multiple missions, it's just two random missions welded together. It's not like they're actually associated with each other. I prefer something that's like, I don't mind like a little bit of random filler stuff, but I don't want the bulk of the game to be just random same thing and then, you know, hunt for the unique content in here. No, not my thing.
Well, the good news about this expansion is it is a standalone campaign, 14 missions, 7 new battle scenarios on custom maps, as well as new all-out war scenarios and procedurally generated missions. So,
oh, wait. So is it 14 missions like I play it like TIE Fighter, where it's like join a campaign and then play 14 missions sequentially?
That's my understanding. Yeah, yeah, that's my understanding. So,
yeah, I bet it's going to be like baked in with the other stuff, right? Where it's just like, well, do enough random missions till you've grinded your level up enough to do this next campaign.
Well, supposedly it's standalone campaign, so you know, we'll see how they designed it. But it is the fourth Secession War period, so you're the Kestrel Lancers,
right?
Not my favorite part of the story or part of the BattleTech universe, but fingers crossed this will add something to it.
This isn't in clan times, though, right? No,
pre clan times.
Okay, good. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But my Timberwolf, bro.
And,
Boy. Outcast, if you remember this very, very classic game, it is finally getting a proper sequel. THQ bought the rights to this at auction several years ago, and they've been developing a sequel to it called Outcast 2: A New Beginning. He will be on the same planet. It's kind of a, you know, man versus evil corporation story, it sounds like, but it does appear to have some of the trappings of the original with, you know, non-linear story and third-person action-adventure style gameplay. So I'm definitely interested to see how this one turns out. I fondly remember the original.
Yeah, I've got the original. I need to play through it. All right, what else we got here? So Call of Duty Warzone's new Pacific Island map has been revealed. I'm not really sure what to say to that.
They're doing something different. I mean that's
new,
nice.
New map, who dis, I guess. There's that. And then, of course, we also got news that Battlefield 2042 will be delayed into November, which I'm fine with. Okay, whatever. It's those things.
Yeah, the beta is apparently still happening on time.
The what?
The beta is still going to happen on the normal schedule, apparently.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that gives us more time maybe with the beta, so that'd be interesting. More time to flesh out some of the stuff.
It would be nuts. Yeah, I hate whenever it's like, hey, we're going to have a beta like 2 weeks out from release. It's like, well, that's not much beta, because if we find anything, you don't have time to actually fix it. So I would prefer like a running beta for a couple months ahead and then bring it.
Yeah.
Get rid of all those launch day bugs right off.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. For Honor, Year 5 Season 3 is live, and they have a new class in the game. I haven't followed For Honor very closely. My kids recently started playing it, though, and are really enjoying it. It reminds me of sort of a medieval, like faux medieval Rainbow Six, in that you have all these different sort of classes, and they have different characteristics, much like the operators in Rainbow Six, but I honestly haven't spent much time with it since it launched.
Yeah, is it like a team versus team round-based thing? Kind of like, I can't even think of the name of the other one, Chivalry 2 or whatever?
No, it's more one-on-one than Chivalry 2, but again, I haven't played a ton of it, so a little bit smaller scale than Chivalry 2, though, it seemed to me. Couple updates for Assassin's Creed Valhalla. They're going to be adding a nightmare difficulty mode for people who have mastered the combat system and want a challenge. They're also releasing the Discovery Tour. This is the super cool kind of standalone version of the game where you can go through and just explore the world that they've created. They actually put in a lot of historical information, and you can treat it almost like a living museum tour. They've done it for the Egyptian game Origins, as well as the Greek Peloponnesian War era game, which was Odyssey, and they were both fantastic. So it's really nice to see them continuing that tradition, since they put so much time and effort into recreating these historical settings.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. All right. Super Bomberman R Online second season adds Castlevania's Soma Cruz.
I put this one in here because Super Bomberman R is kind of a weird history. It was a launch title, I think, for Switch, or a very early title for Switch. And then for whatever reason, Super Bomberman R Online, which added online multiplayer to the game, was a Stadia exclusive of all things. And with the pretty clear commercial failure of Stadia, although, I mean, the service is still around, but it hasn't delivered on its promises, Super Bomberman R Online was then ported to all the other platforms, and as an update to Super Bomberman R. And I guess as part of that, they started doing seasonal content, which I don't know that I needed another games as a service title in my life. And I'm not sure even if I did, it would be Bomberman. But there you go.
Yeah, I haven't been a huge Bomberman person. I mean, I've played a few of the games over the years, but it's just been a series that's just kind of like gone by me.
I've never looked at it as like a competitive online multiplayer scene.
Yeah, I mean, I played it with my friends local, right? And then you know, if somebody's being a dick, you can reach over and punch them in the arm, and like, you know, that takes care of your griefing. But I don't know that I'd want to play it online, frankly.
All right, what do we got?
Blood Rain and Blood Rain 2 are getting a revamped edition coming to PC and consoles later this year.
Did they actually call it revamped?
Because they did. Oh yeah, with the capital V to make it super clear that they're that they're going for the pun. The
joke. Wow.
Yes. Yes. I actually remember Blood Rain quite fondly. Super sexy vampire lady beating the shit out of people was always good fun. So, but they've done, you know, a few different remakes of this, I feel like, over the years. So it'll be interesting to see how it turns out when they're all done. My time at Portia got a pretty big update, version 3.0. They added new quests, new NPCs. I haven't played this at all, but it's a lot like Stardew Valley, I understand. People seem to really like it.
Hey, and here's some big news for you. Uncharted Legacy of Thieves Collection has been announced. Remasters for the PS5, and it's coming out on the PC.
Unfortunately, this isn't the real Uncharted games. So after they did 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then they did a collection of those, they came out with this, which is basically different characters, different story, just sort of going off in a different direction. So I guess they could, you know, kind of keep going and try and keep the series fresh without Nathan Drake, which, you know.
Yeah, it is what it is, but you know, it could be telling to see how well that does, that maybe they start bringing the other ones to the PC as well. But
true.
Speaking of new games that are out there, Deathloop is out. Well, at least the reviews are out, and it looks like across the board it's getting pretty well received. So,
yep. Now, this is interesting because this is an Arcane game. Arcane obviously did, oh my gosh, I'm blanking. All right, well, they've done some really popular stealth action games.
Dishonored.
Yes, thank you. Dishonored is what I was thinking of. Because this was in development before Microsoft purchased Bethesda, it was a timed exclusive for PS5. So it is out on PS5 and PC today. Came out last week. And I played just an hour of it. I haven't really spent a ton of time on it, but all the reviews have been really, really positive. So definitely worth checking out. Or you can wait about 6 months and you'll get it for free with Game Pass, because it'll be a permanent title on Game Pass at that point. Nice. Last but not least, Marvel, they're doing, the XCOM developer Firaxis is doing a Marvel game called Midnight Suns, where you basically create your own superhero and team up with some of Marvel's, you know, classic characters. And it looks a lot like XCOM in terms of being a tactical combat game. Be interesting to see how this turns out. You know, I wasn't striving for more Marvel stuff in my life right now, but maybe this will change my mind.
Nice.
Yeah, I watched a compilation video last night of like top movies coming in 2021 and 2022, right? Mm-hmm. And the entire, I mean, it was like an hour long of movie trailers, and it was all Marvel Studios, DC, Marvel, Marvel, DC, DC, Marvel. It's just like, guys, stop.
Yeah.
Well, people have to stop going to see them for that to happen, because clearly they're making money.
Yeah, it's guaranteed money stuff. But it's also a thing where we're seeing like two series happen in a like a consistent universe sort of thing. So it's interesting, like all these movies actually are kind of related to each other.
Yeah, well, the weird thing about it, though, is like, you know, we had the cartoon series growing up, which were all kind of like relatively connected together. But these movies have already started to prove to like retcon one another in some situations, mm-hmm. and circumstances. And that's where things have like started to get kind of like, because these actors are getting older in some cases, too. Like some of the actors who played some of the characters, unfortunately, have died, like, you know, the Black Panther, you know, so they've got to like re-pivot how they're going to tell these stories in different ways all the time, because it's all live action stuff. And I think for a while there, they were kind of changing how they were going to do Thanos over the years, because we'd get little snippets of Thanos, and then by the time Thanos showed up, like some of those little snippets didn't make sense anymore, because it was like they finally decided to change how they were going to do it. So I'm not opposed to them. I would just definitely, here's the other weird thing is in that, speaking of movies, just for just a quick second though, my issue with all of that is like, I don't see trailers for movies much anymore because I'm not going to movies because there's so many movies that I'm not interested in. And so I often miss trailers for films, but I think there's also just a lack of trailers coming out for films in general, because I was browsing Netflix just the other day and saw a movie, a brand new movie that's got Jason Momoa in it that I'd never heard of. And it came out this year. And it's just like, he's a pretty big celebrity. And it's a movie called Sweet Girl, and it's kind of like an action thriller.
I think that was like a direct to Netflix thing or something.
Yeah, but still, like, you know, and I don't like usually perusing Netflix, but they're the only ones who have like Stargate streaming right now. So like, I've been going back through watching SG-1, and just like, I just happened to see it while I was like getting ready to watch the next episode of SG-1 again. And so it's an interesting market that we live in, where I feel like the same kind of thing happens with games too, where it's just like, you know, you don't really hear, there's like, we're putting out the stuff that kind of just like speaks the loudest, but there's a lot more out there than what we're aware of. So,
well, speaking anyway, of things that you ahead. Might not be aware of, have you guys ever wanted to really study the Swiss Alps, explore German historical landmarks, castles?
Yes, except for I'd rather not leave the comfort of my basement.
Well, have I got the game for you. Microsoft Flight Simulator recently got an update. They redid the Swiss Alps and Germany and Austria. So you've got now Germanic castles, cathedrals, football stadiums, the Matterhorn, which is the famous Swiss mountain that's killed more than 500 climbers, is there. You can fly around handcrafted versions of 100 airports in the region. And probably most interestingly, they've added a off-screen terrain pre-caching feature, which is a really complicated way to say they load the terrain around your airplane in all directions rather than just what you're looking at. So that way, if you look out the window to the side, it doesn't have to stutter or wait for the data to be loaded. It's already there. Certainly probably increases your memory usage, I would expect, but probably also makes the experience a lot better.
I don't know, with that new direct to like graphics card injection like technology, might make things a little easier.
Like very the direct true
read from so. The hard drive, yeah.
That's
pretty cool. The new Forza Horizon 5 has about 426 cars and counting so far, so there is not going to be a lack of content for Forza Horizon 5, that's for sure. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's a lot of cars.
And that's coming out right around the corner, so get hyped. Mm-hmm.
I just hope that it's got like different content than Forza Horizon 4.
It does.
I mean, it's just like, hey, here's the same races on a different map. This kind of
It's got different content for sure. There's some interesting things that they're going to be doing with that one. But let's see here. What else we got coming? They've announced a Jagged Alliance 3. We're hoping it kind of doesn't suck. That's for sure. Deep Rock Galactic has dug up official mod support for its game. So that's pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to checking out what kind of crazy.
You said mods. Dug up. Revamped.
Let's see. I'm trying to blast through some of these just to kind of get us caught up. Hard Space Shipbreakers Act 2 update finally gives you a home in the stars. I have not really had a chance to get into this game. Have you played it, Adrian or Jim?
I have. Not recently, but back when it first came out.
What'd you think of it?
Well, it's kind of an interesting puzzle game. Like a physics puzzle about like how do I cut this thing up and, you know, into the best chunks kind of thing. How do I maximize the amount of salvage that I get out of this, and how much patience do I have? Cause you can go in and like remove like individual bolts out of stuff, right? If you really want to, or you can just like chop it in half with your laser and throw it in the oven. So it's, yeah. And they at one point added like some danger to the game because there's like pressurized places in the ship. So you have to like properly vent it. So don't get in there and just start wildly chopping stuff or you'll explode. Yeah, things like that. So
yeah, I think they had radioactivity at one point was added as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's just, it's like there's no opposition other than the object in front of you, and it's just like, how do I attack this thing? But it's not actively hostile to you, you know. I keep waiting on the one where it's like, oh, now we're gonna like get ships that are occasionally infested with hostile alien facehuggers or some shit, right? But that hasn't happened.
Well, True Achievements did a tally of all of the games in Game Pass now. Microsoft advertises the service as over 100 games, but in fact, it's actually a lot more. There are over 400 Xbox console games between the original Xbox, the 360, the Xbox One, and then the Series consoles. 250 PC games. Of those, 250 are cloud-enabled that you can play on mobile, tablet, or desktop. And more than 50 of these games have touch controls added. So pretty spectacular that Microsoft's been able to deliver so much content through Game Pass.
As a note, those last two, you actually have to have the ultimate version of Game Pass in order to get those. So
that's true. That's true. Good point.
Hey, guess what, guys? Did you hear that GTA 5's coming out? Again?
What year is it?
Yeah. In March of 2022, GTA 5 on the Xbox Series S is supposed to come out. It's being delayed to March, by the way, of 2022. Kind of.
Yeah, and it's
care.
Also coming for PlayStation 5 as well. So,
you know, people make all these Skyrim jokes, right? But I'm wondering at what point does GTA 5 actually catch up with Skyrim on re-release?
So far, it's not going to, because even Skyrim's getting another release, like, so it's...
Oh, God.
Like, the okay, super-duper so ultimate, like, crazy edition, or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to have, like, mods built in, yep. Whatever. So GTA 5 basically looks like they took that guy's shader mod and incorporated it into GTA 5, and they're going to resell it.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm getting is like, oh, don't you wish you could play online with this cool shader mod? Now you can. Please give us money.
Sea of Thieves.
I assume it's not going to be free, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah, they haven't really talked about it.
If it's a free upgrade, I'll get it. If it's not, then pass me by. Thanks.
Sea of Thieves Season 4 is going to start beginning pretty soon here. I really want to get back into this. There's a lot of content still that I want to kind of finish up. And I have still yet to get the, what do they call it? The actual, like, Master of the Sea or whatever it is.
Pirate Legend.
Pirate Legend, that's it. I'd really like to get that at some point, but, eh. So many achievements, so little time.
Yes. Far Cry 6 has gone gold. Ubisoft has also confirmed that it's a free upgrade for the Xbox Series system or consoles, so that's great news. Looking forward to that. I love the Far Cry games myself.
Yep.
Xbox Series X and S. Currently, you can buy a 1 terabyte expansion card for Series X and S games. Microsoft is soon going to be offering a 500 gigabyte option, so if you want to spend a little bit less money up front, you can get one of those. That supplements the built-in storage, of course. And Grounded is getting another huge update next month. And so something to look forward to there. We've enjoyed playing the game when we've tried it, but I haven't kept up with all the stuff that they're doing with it. So
yeah, apparently this new update's going to be way bigger than the Koi Pond. Like, it's going to add a new biome. Like, because there was a new biome that was essentially added with the Koi Pond, right? Which where you can go swimming underwater and stuff like that and explore. So apparently this new update is going to be even bigger than that. So I'm kind of wondering if they're going to like let you rummage around inside the house or something. Like, I don't know. Like, it kind of seems interesting.
All right. Well, let's move on to some retro news. This is just kind of a silly story. Castlevania Symphony of the Night is considered one of the greatest games of all time, one of the best examples of the Metroidvania genre. And a lot of people have been wishing for it to hit the Nintendo Switch. It was originally a PlayStation game, and it was later ported to the Sega Saturn, as well later on to PS4 and Xbox. But the funny thing is, somebody has taken on the job of taking this 32-bit game and backporting it to the Sega Mega Drive / Genesis, depending on whether you grew up in Europe or the US. So they're taking a 32-bit game, backporting it to a 16-bit system. So it might be that the Sega Genesis gets it before the Switch, which I just found kind of amusing.
For sure.
Go Modders, right? And several years ago, a company announced a new system that they advertised as a way to play all of your retro games called the Polymega. This system has had a really rough time. They chose to manufacture it in Myanmar, which is known for its brutal military dictatorship. The region had a huge typhoon hit it at one point. Military, you know, problems with the military government, all these things. But the system is finally coming out. And at least the early reviews say it's a really slick, well-built system, but it's $450, which is a pretty pricey solution for all of your classic consoles, especially because it's using off-the-shelf software emulation that you can already typically get on PC. So
yeah, if it was like a FPGA, then it would be a whole different animal.
Yes, and that was originally what they were advertising it as, and then they changed their mind at some point. So a lot of people are kind of turning up their nose at it, but you know, it'll be interesting to see how it comes along. So, Hunter, you want to take us through some of our VR news?
I do. Microsoft Flight Simulator is finally getting VR controller support coming in mid-November, which is pretty interesting. I have not really had a chance to play that yet in VR, but I kind of want to. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge Last Call paid DLC releases on the Oculus Quest. I've done some of the Star Wars VR stuff, the Vader Star Immortal. Wars thing. Yeah, I did the first chapter of that, which was pretty slick. And I actually really liked it. The more I'm getting into the VR, the more I'm actually really appreciating it as a video game medium. I don't, however, want it to replace my traditional like PC or console experience, but as like another platform for gaming, I really enjoy it. I've also been going through...
Yeah, the Galaxy's Edge... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I've also been going through Half-Life Alyx, and I've really been enjoying that, so...
Yeah, this Galaxy's Edge game in VR is the sequel to Vader Immortal. It's done by ILM, their video game division, and it uses some very interesting techniques to improve the visuals. I've played the Galaxy's Edge game through, so I'm excited to try this new DLC. And they have some, you know, it's not a long experience, but it's certainly very well crafted. It reminds me a lot of some of the rides at, you know, Disneyland and things, where it's kind of an interactive experience.
Yeah, when they said it was like the Galaxy's Edge thing, I thought, well, is it just a tour of the Disney park or what?
Yeah, it's kind of that same setting, but it's actually, you are a character in the universe and interacting with stuff. So there is a story to it.
It kind of takes place at that same kind of place that Galaxy's Edge is at the theme park. So,
yes, right. But you can't actually walk into the shops and then.
No, right. No.
Oh, well, see, that's a missed opportunity, right? They could sell people $100 R2-D2 statues and things.
There's another game coming out. It's kind of like an Indiana Jones inspired puzzler called Eye of the Temple. It's coming to PC VR in October. With the news that they're going to be doing another Indiana Jones thing pretty soon, I feel like the Indiana Jones kind of, well, I guess the adventure and puzzler games in general have been kind of like a missed opportunity, and not to make a joke there, but you know, missed the game. You know, got a VR release recently, and Cyan has also been working on putting their new game Abduction in VR, and they're working on a new game in VR as well. That's kind of like a puzzler adventure style game. So more power to it. Firmament, I think, is the new Cyan game that they're working on, but
Oculus has a new feature that's kind of interesting called Space Sense. So if you haven't used VR before, what you typically do is draw a circle or a box on the floor to say this is where you know the area you have to move in, and the system will warn you if you get too close to that boundary, so you don't, you know, smack into the wall or punch your TV or any number of problems that people have run into. And the one thing it didn't do was if somebody walked into that space, it didn't warn you. And so they're adding that as a capability, which I think is really smart.
Or if you have a dog.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then finally for VR, Sniper Elite VR came out earlier this year. They've done an update that adds more difficulty controls and comfort options to the game. They've also added some more content to it, so nice to see them kind of continue to support the game and give you some more value there.
In PlayStation news, Gran Turismo 7 gets a March 2022 release date, so they're coming out with a Gran Turismo game. Did I read it right that it's not just a PlayStation game? Maybe I missed something there. I thought I saw a rumor that it might not be just for PlayStation in the long run.
It is for PlayStation 4 and 5. Maybe that's what you're thinking about. Because originally it was just going to be for PS5, I believe.
Yes. Servers for Little Big Planet games closed permanently and dozens of trophies discontinued. What's that all about, Malified?
Well, they got hacked, basically, these old servers for Little Big Planet, Little Big Planet 2, and Little Big Planet 3, all of which were on the PlayStation 3, and then Little Big Planet for the Vita. The unfortunate thing is there's a lot of custom-made content. One of the big features of Little Big Planet was making your own level, and so all of those levels are going to be gone and no longer available, which is really a shame. But because the servers got hacked and they're so old, they didn't want to do the hard work to go back and try to, improve the security of them. So kind of a sad day, especially from a games preservation perspective.
Yeah.
Sony also released the official version of the latest PS5 system software. This is a biggie because it add support for the internal SSD slot, so you can actually add more storage to your PS5 for PS5 games finally, which, you know, they've been promising for almost a year now, so it's nice they finally delivered on that. They added a feature that helps make it clear whether you're downloading the PS4 or PS5 version of a game, which was a problem on the PS5 for a long time. Obviously, Microsoft did a really good job of that on the Xbox, which is nice. So Sony's kind of catching up there. The one thing that they haven't done, though, is added variable refresh rate support on the PS5, which a lot of people were really looking for because it really smooths out the frame rate if you have a compatible display. And the Xbox does support this, so a lot of people are kind of wondering when that's going to be coming, and we have no word on that from Sony, unfortunately. So, fingers crossed.
All right, moving right along to some cloud news. This is really just strange that we still keep talking about this, but Google Stadia has a job listing suggesting VR cloud gaming ambitions, which is just like, Google.
Well, of all of the systems that are like super latency sensitive, VR is far and away the most technically challenging because it needs such low latency to avoid making you physically ill. Because if the screen doesn't update when you move your head, it confuses your brain and your brain starts going, something's wrong, and it makes you nauseous. So, and some people are more or less sensitive to this, but everybody will get motion sickness if the refresh rate's too far behind your movement. So I don't understand how that's a good idea in the cloud, because you're already adding so much latency, just, you know, getting back and forth to the cloud server.
Apparently, like with every purchase, they should give you like, here's a copy of Wireshark and the how to troubleshoot your network latency.
Seriously.
Yeah.
So I, you know, we'll see. I find it strange, but maybe they'll surprise me. PS Now got 7 new games for September. Couple highlights: Tekken 7, Final Fantasy 7, the original, Pathfinder Kingmaker, the Definitive Edition, and Moonlighter. So there's a few more games there if you've got PS Now.
In tech news, beware of miners selling thrash secondhand SSDs as new. This crypto mining market has just been terrible on graphics cards and hard drives alike. So beware of buying things on the internet, where you buy them from.
Stay the hell off eBay.
Well, and if you do buy them, make sure the first thing you do is plug it in and check the service time on the drive if it supports it, because that'll give you a really good idea of how long it's been used or abused before you put a bunch of data on it, hopefully. I've got a couple stories here about Windows 11. It's coming out in a few weeks, guys. I don't know if you know, it's sort of strange to think that October is that close, but we will have the Windows 11 very soon. And if you remember, one of the things that Microsoft has done is really pushed a much more modern minimum required hardware specification. And one of those requirements is for a TPM 2.0 module. If you don't have that, you can still install Windows 11, but you won't get all of the updates, which is sort of a confusing stance to take, I think. Yes. But Microsoft indicated why they're doing that, and they're saying that because of getting rid of all this old hardware, it actually improves Windows 11 to the point where they can deliver a 99.8% crash-free experience. Which, you know, okay, that sounds pretty good. I'm not sure it's true, but we'll see. On a related note, Valorant is leading the charge on enforcing permanent bans of cheaters' hardware using the Windows TPM. So what they're actually doing is writing something into the TPM that blacklists that machine from ever being used to play Valorant.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. I do worry about false flags though, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at least with Blizzard, I know the way that they would do it is you would have to be caught cheating by the system multiple times over multiple periods of time. And once you hit a certain threshold, they basically were confident enough that you were illegitimate that they would ban you. They wouldn't do it on one, you know, single offense necessarily. Right. But I assume Valorant's very similar, but the thing that's interesting about this is I've been trying to get my brand new build ready for Windows 11, and most modern Intel and AMD CPUs have this TPM 2.0 compatible feature in the CPU, and you can turn that on in the BIOS. But Gigabyte is my BIOS motherboard manufacturer. And apparently there's a long-standing known incompatibility between Gigabyte's BIOS and the internal FTPM, it's called, in the chip in my AMD CPU. And so randomly it gets reset and causes boot problems. So I ordered what is normally a $20 little, like, very, very small little card that plugs into a spot on the motherboard, and that has the TPM in it. So while I get the advantage of Valorant banning the hardware using the TPM, if I can replace a $20 part on my machine and basically, you know, clear that ban, it doesn't seem like it's all that effective. Now, on laptops, obviously, it's going to be built in, probably soldered on the motherboard, and so that's going to be a little bit different scenario. But I'm not sure it's quite as effective, you know, as they would like to think at Riot.
Right. Well, moving on to business and legal, this is where I'm going to get on my high horse just for a second, because this bugs the crap out of me. And I hate that these guys got so bullied into this based off of, I feel like these guys could take legal action, but I don't know, maybe it would make it worse for them. But basically, inciting increased hostility, popular mod GTA Underground shuts down. So there was a modding group that was making mods for Grand Theft Auto 3 era games has finally shut down. Now, they were doing stuff for, I think, like San Andreas and GTA 3 and Vice City, where they were building these mods that were just almost like an open-end platform, if I'm not mistaken. And you had to actually own copies of these games in order to use their mods. So essentially what would happen is you would have the game, and then it would extract content from the game that you are supposed to legally own in order to make this mod work. So in order to play these mods, you actually had to physically own the games that you're supposed to. And they've even gone on the record as saying so. But Take-Two, who owns Rockstar, basically, has been constantly sending them, cease and desist and copyright notices, because they're saying that they're, using their assets to make something else, which is not the case. And it's just really, it really kind of ticks me off, because it's like mods are made by people who have a passion for the game that they're modding. Like, why would they choose to mod this in the first place if they didn't have something that they really loved about it, right? You know, it's the same kind of thing that we've talked about in our modding episode, where it's just like, mods extend the replay value of these games. It can actually encourage people to go out and legally buy. Now, I know it's easier now than ever before to go and pirate games. It really is. But, like, at the same time, though, to me, this just encourages me that I want to get my hands on a copy of this game so I can install this mod, you know, and play these mods. So it really bugs me that they're taking this stance that somehow this is property theft, when in actuality it's more like property admiration, and, you know, people are trying to utilize something that they love and enjoy to do something fun with. And I think there should be some kind of like legal ground of, you know, free expression or something. I don't know, but it just really ticks me off that these guys felt so compelled and harassed to have to walk away from this. There is a silver lining on this story, though. The developers still want to make video games, and so they have a desire to actually make their own unique game. And so they're going to turn their YouTube channel into an updates channel for their future project that they're going to start working on. So at least there's some kind of silver lining that they're not going to be done at all with this stuff, but it'll be interesting. So that's my rant on this, but there you go.
All right. Well, 100% agree. I'm disappointed, especially 6 years of work just flushed down the drains, you know, just kind of gross. On a happier note, No Man's Sky finally has positive Steam reviews after 5 years. The game got review bombed early on because people felt like the game didn't live up to the hype, and the developer has been putting out new content consistently for the last 5 years, including a recent Frontiers update that lets you run a small town on your planet. And so it was really interesting to see that it's taken that long, though, for them to recover from that sort of initial.
As a matter of fact, on Steam, it has a very positive review.
Yeah, they finally get to go to developer heaven when they die.
Oh no.
Because you get to the pearly gates, and St. Peter looks at your like review averages, and
right. Warhammer 40K Eternal Crusade is gone. Servers have been shut down, and there is no way to play the game anymore.
We'll just wait for the modding community.
That's what I'm hoping, yeah, for sure.
The modding community might actually fix that thing.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. Yeah, it had some pretty big problems, I remember. maybe this next one belonged under funny and strange section, but China has called for less effeminate men in video games.
Oh my God.
This is kind of part of a recent trend that we've seen from China that we've talked about on the show a few times, that China's government seemingly has decided that video games are ruining their children, ruining the spirit of their people.
Yeah.
So
male or female, every character has to be John McCain. John McClane, whatever his name is.
Yeah, McClane from Die Hard. Right. Yeah. Well, John I just McCain? Found this
oh my God.
Sort of amusing, but I don't know what to say about it other than it is clearly part of a trend.
China's just doing a lot of terrible things. I actually want to know how this is going to affect like their gaming industry business in general, because so much of the gaming industry was leaning hard into supporting the new market that they were finally getting into over there. And it seems like maybe that could be affected by a lot of this stuff.
So. Yeah. Well, at the very, like a lot of things that are manufactured in China can't legally be sold in China. So they get shipped out of the country and without any Chinese person ever actually being able to use them. And I kind of wonder if we're going to end up with the same thing with video games where there's just these game developers in China who aren't allowed to actually play the games they make.
Yeah, they have to outsource playtesting.
Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, we'll see. But Alien Pickle, if I told you there was a game that had more people playing than Rainbow Six, Rainbow Six Siege, Civilization VI, or Phasmophobia, would you ever think that that game that's beating all those other big AAA releases is Cookie Clicker?
No, I thought it was going to be Trap Genesis or Trap Legend.
Yeah, the Steam release or port of the mobile gaming classic Cookie Clicker has hit Steam recently for, I think, $4 or $5, and apparently it has sold quite a few copies because lots and lots of people are playing it. Don't know what to say about that.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, so I'm confused. All right, so Cookie Clicker was an idle game about like hiring a bunch of grandmas, right, to make cookies or something, right? And was it only on mobile before?
Yes.
And now it's on. Okay, so on mobile it was quite free. On PC it's $5. Did they remove all the microtransactions and just like get a one-time $5 dose out of you? Or is it $5 for the privilege of microtransactions?
I don't know, but I believe it is without microtransactions.
Well, that's good.
So
this next one, actually, I really kind of find humorous, but the dark mode in Windows 11 plays different sounds intended to keep you calm. So I think in general, maybe they should just change their sounds because they are quite intrusive.
Hunter, you have email. Jim, your game has crashed.
Yeah.
It sounds okay,
become the sounds become ASMR or something like
that. Yes,
it's just
yes,
like, oh my God.
Yeah, you get up in the morning, your computer does your daily affirmations for you.
Yeah, there we go. You're
in
good.
Every way.
Yes.
Every day, I'm getting better.
This next one, I posted the video last night, and if you get a chance, you have to come on the Discord and see it for yourself. But there is a mod maker who made a mod for No Man's Sky called Sean's Sean Mod, and it takes the smiling face of the lead developer of No Man's Sky, Sean Murphy, and basically replaces all kinds of random things in the game with Sean Murphy's head. So the giant space station that you can go into to interact with different people in the game, well, it's Sean Murphy's head, and you fly into his mouth.
Yeah, it's Murray.
Yep, or Murray, sorry. The scorpion creatures on some of the planets, the stinger on their tail is Sean's face. Your exocraft has Sean's head on it.
The tagline of this article says, "Every atom, Sean."
Mm-hmm. And they did a trailer for it, which is just fantastic and well worth the 2 minutes of your life to watch it. So definitely check that out. Another Microsoft Flight Simulator fun story. People have been using the game to fly through Hurricane Ida in real time. One of the features of Microsoft Flight Simulator is it has actual world weather in real time, and so people are able to do a little hurricane exploration there, which is kind of nuts to think about.
Yeah, and if you use Boat Simulator, then you can explore New York.
Yeah, seriously. A Minecraft builder is recreating the entire Star Wars galaxy planet by planet.
Yeah, I remember when I saw this article, I was like blown away, because Not only is he already underway and done Tatooine, but the dude has done Coruscant. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, how long does that take?
Yeah, yeah. He's very committed, and it's amazing work, but unfortunately it is not available for download, at least not yet. So maybe we'll get to see that later.
Yeah, well, like, whenever they came out with the whole, like, we're going to do a reboot thing of KOTOR, right? Mm-hmm. There was that guy who already had done a reboot of KOTOR in Unreal, right? And it was like all but done, and then they cease and desisted him straight to hell.
So strange.
So that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because they knew that they had a product coming out that was going to use that name, and they didn't want a mod like stealing their thunder, so get in mod jail. But it's just the years of effort that he put into doing that. And if you've seen any of the videos of it, it was like, wow, I want
that. Yeah, it's pretty gnarly, yeah.
Well, Doom Eternal got an update recently fixing a problem with their Halloween event. But it also changed the menu music back to the original music that was in the game when it launched. Strangely, when the Ancient Gods Part 2 DLC showed up, it changed the menu music. And now they've changed it back? Nobody's quite sure why or what's going on there, but just kind of a strange little quirk from the game.
Weird.
All right, we have two Pokemon stories here, and I'm going to get on a rant about one of them. The first one is Krispy Kreme has a dozen donuts that are Pokemon themed that you can get. They just basically have different Pokemon colors and faces on them, which, yeah, okay, that's cute. This next one, though, Pokemon teamed up with Oreo to launch a line of exclusive Oreos. And now, mind you, these are not different Pokemon flavors or colors or anything like that. All they did was the black Oreo biscuit part of the cookie has different Pokemon on it. So are you with me so far, guys?
Yeah, yes. I'm more intrigued about the concept of Pokemon flavors. Because,
well, you could have, like, you know, Pikachu yellow is lemon and Charizard
okay, so
orange.
Wouldn't have to actually figure out what Pikachu tastes like.
Well, that probably would be a little bit harder. But yeah, I just figured they could have at least track. Done. Yeah. Anyway, they could have done something more than just the cookie. But here's the crazy part. There are 16 designs total, but they're not equal rarity. They're intentionally making some of the Pokemon themed Oreos chase variants.
Oh, Jesus. Are they going to come like with foil packs? And
I like, this has just gone too far. It is inherently a product that will, like, degrade over time. It is food. It is not meant to have chase variants. That's all I'm going to say.
You get the special hologram Oreo Pikachu. And then It's like, well, Pikachu or the Pokemon trading cards, right? For some reason in the pandemic became
very popular.
Defined.
Yes.
Yeah, so now they're trying to like take Oreos down that Pokemon booster pack. It's like I need my Oreo booster pack. You open it and it's got like three cookies in it. And then we can have unboxing videos on Twitch of streams of people like opening their Oreos.
So that'll be our show for this week, guys. And as always, come check out our Discord, discord.otherworlds.gg, so you guys can get involved in the community. And there's all kinds of fun stuff that we're going on over here. We do a community night every Thursday night. We had an interesting one this last Thursday where we did Star Citizen. We actually had five of us hop in the game and putz around for quite a little while, so that was quite entertaining. So every Thursday night we try and pick something different to play and have fun. We often repeat certain stuff too because the fun factor is always there. I myself will probably end up playing a little Star Wars Galaxies tonight. I think I might dive back into that. I was having some fun with that last night. We are running our giveaway still on our Discord as well, so 100 for 100. So as soon as we get 100 people in there, we will start doing some $25 gift card giveaways. We're getting pretty close. We have currently active 31 that are online for this Saturday, and I think we've got like another 40 in there, so we're up to about 70 people. So we're getting closer and closer all the time. So tell all your friends and get them in over here. And we'll see you guys next week. This has been episode number 36.
Yeehaw.